Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Gezer Shom Re'emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our seventh installment in Thoughts on Hanukkah. We're going right now through at least certain parts of the Al HaNisim Tefillah. Reb Chaim Friedlander poses a very basic question. After the introductory line of Al HaNisim, so we talk about Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochran Kohen Gadol, Chashmonai Yuvanav. In the days of Matisyahu, the Chashmonai, the person from the family of Chashmonai and his sons. And by the way, on Purim, we talk about in the days of Mordechai and Esther. So he asks a very basic question. If you're talking about the days, if you're trying to set the stage, how about putting a date up there? What do you have to talk about Matisyahu and Mordechai and Esther? Just say, in such and such a date, such and such a year. Isn't that how the history books do it? Why shouldn't we do it this way? So he says that if the purpose of the Al HaNisim Tefillah is to recount a miracle, we need to understand that miracles happen in the merit of great people. If you're giving the context and the perspective far more than the significance of the year is understanding who was doing what to merit it. It's a very interesting thing to think about. It's a powerful thing to reflect on. So we continue with the Al HaNisim, and we talk about the fact that the Yevanim, the enemies of the Jews in this story, tried very hard, Lashkicham Torasecha, to make the Jewish people forget God's Torah. So Reb Friedlander just points out, when you think about it, the next phrase is to try to move us away from the laws that God wants us to keep. Okay, that we can understand. There were certain halachos, certain laws the Jews were keeping, and the Yevanim tried to get them out of those. How do you make somebody forget the Torah? How do you do that? So his suggestion, Reb Friedlander, is that the pshat is the Yevanim tried to take away the excitement of the study of Torah from the Jewish people. Tried to make it, because by the way, one of the famous things is it seems they didn't have a general appreciation for culture, and history. And so presumably they had some type of intellectual interest in the Jewish culture and practice, but they didn't want the Jews to live it with a passion and excitement. So they would make us forget the Torah if they robbed us of our passion for the Torah. It's very interesting. Reb Friedlander cites the Panovitcher Rav as suggesting that that's the reasoning behind the minug, behind the practice of giving Chanukah gelt, of giving money to children on Chanukah. Of course, as many of us know, the practice of Chanukah presents seems to have been Americanized to a certain extent, and probably on some level it is taking a page out of a book of another faith that celebrates a holiday in this time of year. But the basic practice of giving money on Hanukkah is a very old Jewish tradition. The Panovitcher Rav suggested that one of the core problems of what the Yevanim were doing to the Jews was they were taking away the excitement of the study of Torah. So the idea of reinvigorating our children with Torah and mitzvot, and particularly the study of Torah, so that you give them prizes for study, was perhaps a response to that. That's an interesting thing to think about. Then the next phrase is, L'haviram mechukei ritzonecha. They tried to take us away from the laws of your will. Now, a chok, generally speaking, has a connotation that it's a mitzvah, it's a commandment, the reason for which we really don't know. So the paraduma, the laws of the red heifer, is a famous chok. It's interesting to look at the general mitzvah observance as being about chukim. Famously, one of the laws that the Yevanim tried to take us away from was the concept of Rosh Chodesh, of a new month. Another one is Shabbos. Shabbos is not a chok. We understand why we keep Shabbos. The circumcision. These things we can understand. We might not understand every minute detail, but we have a basic understanding. So Reb Friedlander suggests that the reason why we talk about chukim here is their real problem with the Jews was not that we had practices, not that we had practices that were of an intellectual background and reasoning. The problem was that we were willing to do things, we are willing to do things, even for no other reason than that's what God said. The reason we keep Shabbos is God told us to keep Shabbos. Now, Once we've decided to keep Shabbos, there's a number of messages and significances which we can extract from it and which will make Shabbos so much more meaningful for us and will enrich our lives and our outlooks. We should understand the reasons as best we can. But in the end of the day, we do it because God said so. He says such an interesting example. So let's talk about being a nice person. Why are we nice people? So you could say that we're nice people because intuitively it hits us that we should be nice people. You could do a lot worse than that. Really, in an ideal mode, the reason why we're nice people is because God taught us in his Torah through setting up the model of the tremendous kindness that Avram shows us in the Torah. God's conveying to us that he wants us to be nice people. Now, I could enjoy being a nice person. I could see the value in being a nice person. But the highest form is, as I enjoy it, as I see the value in it, I say to myself, but the real definer of value is because God said so. And this was something the Avadim were trying to take away from the Jews. It's something interesting to think about. If over the course of Hanukkah, we could even grab something and just do it in a little bit of a different, more devoted way. Some mitzvah that doesn't speak to us as much as other mitzvahs, that we're a little bit more lax on. And just say to ourselves, if God said to do it or the rabbis say to do it, it's part of who we are. Because that was very much part of the struggle in the Hanukkah story. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful day.